from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Travis DiNicola. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Baselli Walrab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Sharon Gamble. Today I'll find out what's going on at Clues Memorial Hall this spring.
I'll chat with Barb Shoup about what is new at the Writers' Center.
And I'll get a preview of this year's Indiana Artisan Marketplace. And we'll have that arts calendar we call...
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. A famous drummer and a famous pianist go off the beaten path. Dancers perform with light, and Alexander has a very bad day. All of these and more are coming up this spring at Clues Memorial Hall, as Sharon Gamble recently learned from James Kramer.
All right, so when I think about Stuart Copeland of the Police and Jackie Parker, John Kimura Parker together, I'm just like picturing screaming fans at Clues Hall.
We hope so.
Tell us about this Off the Score project. It's fascinating.
Well, I think the title is very apropos. It is a really interesting combination. It's very a different kind of mix-up for us, and I think our audiences are really going to enjoy this. Certainly, we're doing some outreach activities along with that. You know, I always want to plug those. But we are having a masterclass with composition students and percussion students to be working with, particularly with Stuart on stage with his whole setup on Friday. So it's earlier in the day before the concert. So it's going to be a real neat experience for them to gain that kind of personal, just personal experience with them, working alongside with them. But I think for the audience that's coming into the performance at 8 o'clock, it certainly stands on its own. You know, I think you can come, you can appreciate the music, and just kind of be swept away with that, and be, as we usually are, open to the possibilities of wherever the concert may lead us.
Wow, I love that. So John Kimura Parker, classically trained. Stuart Copeland of The Police, but of many other projects as well. And Copeland is also, he's a composer, right?
Yes, yes.
And he's done some film music?
So we're going to really see where his career has gone since, you know. And I think that's just one of those beautiful things with artists that come in, that we get to see them in some different than we might expect type of settings. So that he's here, he's working with this really fabulous drum setup. And that's why we're, you know, really incorporating the percussion students into this experience, because it is so much more. And then, of course, the composition students, too, because there is so much more there. It's more than just a drum clinic. It's more than just a drumming show or a a percussion tour de force.
Right.
There is this depth of work there, as you say, the composing for film, the other works that he does. It has some weight to it, so it's not just fluff.
And then the Off the Score, it's called that because it's an exploration of improvisation?
Yeah. It's the idea of hearing a familiar theme and then sort of like doing almost like a jazz improv off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have some recognizable people will identify with, and then go on that journey where those two musicians take that and explore and really look at, again, how we can stretch that. And I think for the audience to not just be an observer, but to really participate in that is what we'll be able to, you know, explore a little bit more at pre-performance in how to better appreciate this, how to better engage in it, and not just be passive, but, you know, to really, I think, to listen to let your imagination go where this music could take you. I think that's very liberating. I think it gives us a lot of permission to go exploring with these artists.
Love that. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about How are the students chosen to participate? Is it kind of open to all majors?
Well, with this one, there was a limit. There was a limit on this one. We had 50, room for 50. So we sent it out to percussion and composition students. Those were our focus. And then if there was any openings, which right now we have just a few, then we're specifically asking other people in those genres to consider joining us as well. Sometimes we're fortunate enough to have an observation sort of unlimited observation number for people who can come. So you don't have to be a participant to get something out. I find personally a lot of those master classes, if I were up there as one of the students, I'd be getting a very different experience. Yeah, it's fabulous. But sometimes that is so overwhelming. You're right there with Marcus Roberts. There with Marvin Hamlisch when he was here and alive. And it's just this variety of different artists that we've had in masterclass settings. But to observe that, you can take away a lot too. So I think it's just as, in a different way, but just as interesting to be participating in an observation way as it is to participate as a performer, musician, singer, dancer type of thing. So, but as I say, there are a variety of things that we open up to the public that have that kind of connection. And when possible, it's open and we just, it's a first come up to capacity, whatever that may be, that we can get as many people into to take a part of this as possible.
I love that because, you're opening a window into almost a subset or a subculture of what happens when great artists tour, especially when they're coming to a major university campus. You guys, you and your colleagues at Clues, negotiate with them to do masterclasses, to do workshops, to extend, as long as they're taking the trouble to travel here and put on that public performance.
Right.
And what a treat for the students.
Yes. And as I say, it's the mission, of course, is of Clues in a nutshell, is the lifelong learning in and through the arts. And that's whether it is as a student who's enrolled in a course at a university or whether it is a lifelong learner who wants to come in at whatever age to experience this, whenever we can, we try to make that an open community. Butler community, Indianapolis community, surrounding community. I mean, that's a broad, broad definition of what is our community that we serve. But certainly, I think that as a student at the university, it is a wonderful opportunity, and we really, it's tough because there's so many opportunities these days in so many different ways. You really have to pick and choose. But hopefully, these things that we bring in with this level of artist, that we're not only bringing an entertainer for the community, but we're also bringing an educator. And that helps us all learn and grow and better appreciate the next time they or someone similar comes in.
Absolutely. Something that's wild in a completely different way that I'm looking forward to this spring is Lightwire.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about Lightwire.
Wow. You know, it is, I'm just going to throw it out there. Eleanor Bernard used to dance with me at Indianapolis Ballet Theater.
Oh.
So it's great to have, we're going to have a little reunion.
She's
coming back. She and her husband, Ian Carney, and she's now Eleanor Carney, are going to be here with their company. Ian and a colleague of his they both were in Moving Out, and so they got together and formed this. They have a New Orleans base, that's their home, so they come from there. They come from a lot of that, the artistic sensibility there, which is really warm and rich and in a lot of ways extravagant too. It's you think Mardi Gras, you think all of this sort of lushness, and that influences what they do with their the Lightwire show and what they're using with the technology to create these lighted shapes that they then move around in space to create a story. And it's just really amazing, and it's so hard to describe a visual art form, but it is something I think that is very entertaining, and it ranges from it is family friendly. There is actually a part of their programming that targets more of an educational matinee type of audience, a younger child audience.
Sure.
That's not going to be this show. It's not a kiddie show, but it is definitely family friendly, and I think that it's going to be very interesting to see that. They both are going to join me in a pre-performance discussion. They're going to bring some of the things. I was just talking to Eleanor this morning.
Oh, cool.
And she's like talking about bringing these.
So show the technology?
So yes. So
cool.
We're going to see that. So it's not we're going to keep all that magic hidden. So maybe there's a spoiler alert here. If you don't want to know, don't take that in.
Don't come to the pre-performance talk on March 21st.
Yes, but that having them there to talk directly about it is just going to be a real wonderful treat for us. And I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier with Stuart and John, that it is – it's not. It doesn't have to be a masterclass to be able to connect with the artists in these companies. In this case, they do talkbacks. We're going to have them there before the show. So, you know, again, very often after you see a show, you won't have all these questions. Well, in this case, we're going to get to talk to them before, so that again, we go into the performance better prepared for and to appreciate what we're going to get in that show. It's
what great. Kind of music do they set this choreography to?
You know, it's all over the map. There's it depends on what their story is, but I've seen them do. They were on the Fake Off. They've been on America's
Got Talent, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they're in. It changes up. Sometimes it's very dramatic, sort of film score, fight scene, sort of of exciting choreography. You know, if they're doing a lightsaber battle, okay, or if it's something that's a little bit softer and more lyrical. Depends on, you know, where that story's going. If it's going to be the Ugly Duckling, or if it's going to be, you know, fighting cats and lightsabers and things, you know, it's like, what is that? I think it's appropriately underscored. And again, their performing and dance background sensibility really influences the flow. And it's much more of a dance show with the lighted features than it is, even though you don't see that. You talk to the performers, and they have to have a good solid foundation to be able to do this. And very often their choreography is set, and then they come in with all the costuming, and they have to have that challenge of, okay, now how do I make all that choreography work with this apparatus and with this costume that might be otherwise restricting? So it's a real challenge for the performers too.
It's so wonderful that there are still shows like this, because, you know, somebody may be sitting here thinking, well, you know, you just do it all digitally, and but there's nothing to compare to sitting in a big theater and watching on a grand stage.
Absolutely.
Watching people take on these challenges and conquer them.
Yes. And we, as an audience, are there with them. Again, it's not that we're just observing it. In some ways, we are feeding that. And the performers continue to tell us in that space how much they can sense the audience. Mm. So it's very important for us to be there and awake and alive and participating and encouraging them onward for that to be the best show that we can, you know, possibly have here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it gives us a responsibility, but also gives us a sense that we are important to the process as an audience member. And that's, I think, true in any live theater, but especially, you know, when we're there and you can sense that, you can hear the audience. So you want to hear what they're not going to have for dinner, but what they're thinking about what you're doing. So tell us more. Give us your applause.
Right. I want to mention a couple of shows coming up that will, I imagine, have somewhat dramatically different audiences.
Mm-hmm.
The first is in May on the 13th, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Yes.
Which is wildly popular among certain shorter people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It is. And it is
By
part
which
of our
I
education.
Mean children,
yes,
in case
yes,
you're wondering.
Yes, yes. It is geared toward a certain younger age demographic. We do have our education matinees that we feature these to, and we certainly market those to schools, but we have some that are open to the general public as well. And we have some seats that are, again, it's available, but it is a limited number because they will be mixed in with school groups that are coming. So it's very exciting right now. It's a very popular show, and we expect it to sell out, so we certainly encourage people to get their tickets early, make those decisions early. And May, what a wonderful time to get out and onto a university campus that's as beautiful as Butler and go exploring and really make that a little outing. It's not just about the show, and we say this with all of our performances. It's an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the campus, you come to Clues for that experience, and whether it's a pre-talk, a post thing, an opportunity to go across campus, grab a bite to eat, and walk through a beautiful park-like setting. I mean, it is a wonderful, wonderful space and has a real different vibe. You know, other places, other venues have their vibe around them, and we have ours, and that's, I think, what I encourage people to do is come out and really linger, enjoy the space, enjoy that setting, and really have an afternoon or an evening out at the theater.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Diana Krall in August.
Yes.
Speaking of someone who makes you want to linger.
Yes.
What a singer.
Yes. So we're really excited when that was announced. And I hope early enough that people could make that wise decision to get those tickets soon. Because, again, another very popular performer and expected sellout. So we want people to know and take advantage of those opportunities that we're bringing into the community.
Stay tuned. We'll tell you exactly how to do that.
Yes.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Sharon Gamble with Clues Memorial Hall's Community Engagement Manager, James Kramer. Learn about these events and many more at clueshall.org. Again, clueshall.org.
You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio. The Indiana Writers' Center is presenting their Gathering of Writers event this year under the theme Only Connect, Poetry, Prose, Passion. The event features keynote speaker Scott Russell Sanders and sessions by Indiana authors including Karen Kovacic, Dan Wakefield, and Ben Winters. And they're releasing their publication, Best of Flying Island. Travis DiNicola sat down with the center's director, Barb Shoup, to find out more.
Barb, welcome back to Art of the Matter. Great to see you.
Always good to be here, Travis.
Thank you. And we're going to be talking about your Gathering of Writers, which is a really cool event coming up soon in just a minute. But before we do, that background on what is the Indiana Writers Center?
The Indiana Writers Center is a nonprofit organization that is devoted to helping people who want to be writers, be mm-hmm. writers. Mm-hmm. We have lots of classes, all of which are taught by published writers, really great writers and really great teachers, many of whom are on the faculties of universities in central Indiana. So that's mm-hmm. pretty cool. It's kind of like a little college education without the price.
Right.
And we have a Gathering of Writers, which I'll talk about in a minute, every year. And we also do outreach programs. We do mm-hmm. memoir projects. We have a summer learning program called Building a Rainbow. That's lots of fun. We reach about 125 kids every summer with that. And just lots of things around the community, school visits, churches, book clubs, whatever.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people know you for the work that you do in terms of the workshops for people who want to be writers, you know, whether they're professional or hobbyists or what have you. But the outreach stuff is really pretty interesting, I think, in terms of reaching a lot of populations that maybe would not consider themselves writing, but using writing to sort of help them understand the world better? Is that
Absolutely. That's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. You'd even be surprised to see what the kids write. They're mm-hmm. age 6 through 14 usually. And if you have the right kind of curriculum, if you know how to pull it out of them, they will write some pretty amazing stuff, kind of right off the tops of their heads. Mm-hmm. So that's just a delight. And then we also do projects. We've done memoir projects with senior citizens and girls in prison, mm-hmm. Veterans. I think it's a great way, if nothing else, to just share your stories with mm-hmm. your family and with your friends and your community. But I believe in writing, and I think writing changes you. And I think that the process of remembering and telling your stories brings new insight to what your life has been and helps you put things in perspective. So I really value those programs a lot.
Yeah, and not just writing for publication or writing as art or entertainment, but really writing as process or a
as
way
process.
Of processing.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at your life mm-hmm. and thinking about it. And often we do publish anthologies of mm-hmm. student work, which is really fun.
Yeah.
Everybody loves to have a book with their with their work in it. And last summer it was really wonderful because we were introducing that idea to the newer kids. And mm-hmm. and so our coordinator, Lynn Jones, said, and I bet some of you remember about the book. And, you know, one kid raised his hand and he said, page 77. So he knew right
awesome.
Where his stuff was. And so did some other kids. So that mm-hmm. was very gratifying.
That's
the best
cool.
kind of evaluation you can get. And we're very fortunate to have received some funding from the Alan Whitehill Clues mm-hmm. Charitable Foundation to expand that programming in the next fiscal year.
That's awesome. Congratulations on
Thanks.
That.
Thanks. We're excited about it.
So on the other end of the spectrum, Gathering of Writers,
yes,
which is your big annual
writers.
Event.
Yeah.
And so that is going to be coming up in Let me get the exact date here, Barb. That is going to be on March 21st, so that's just right around the corner.
That's right.
At Indiana Landmarks, and it is an all-day event with speakers, with workshops. You've got some great writers who are going to be a part
of this.
We
do. We have an amazing cast of characters this time. We've got Scott Russell Sanders as our keynote speaker, who's giving a speech called Writing While the World Burns. Now, who wouldn't want to hear about that?
Right.
I think anybody who's a writer in Indiana knows Scott Sanders' work and admires it. And so we're very, very lucky to have him to give that speech for us. And he'll also be teaching a master class on the day after. So if you're interested in learning how to write essays or becoming a better essay writer, you couldn't take a class from a better person because he really is a master. So that will be on Sunday the 22nd, and you can find information about that on our website, Indiana Writers, www.indianawriters.org. So on that day after the keynote session, which will be in the morning.
And the theme of the day is Only Connect.
Yeah.
Poetry, prose, passion. Only Connect, of course, is that great line.
My favorite Forster quote, Only Connect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And that's what we're about. You know, we're about connecting writers with each other and connecting writers with their material. One of the things I love about this day is that we have writers, you know, from all levels, at all levels of accomplishment, and they spend the day together.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people who teach the sessions end up sticking around and taking each other's sessions, which
I think is really fun. And again, all types of writers. I mean,
it's all types of writers.
Fiction, nonfiction, poetry, prose, essay, memoir.
Yeah, we've got a playwriting this year, which will be fun. A new thing.
And you've got people who've been on our show.
So here's
many
who
times.
We've got:
I mean, Karen Kovacic, Dan Wakefield, Ben Winters.
Yeah.
Who else you got there?
We got William O'Rourke from Notre Dame. We have Andy Black, who's our playwriting person. We've got a great playwriting program going on at the Writers Center now, so we're going to give a little taste of playwriting. We've got the entire creative writing faculty of the University of Indianapolis. We've got Sal Payne and Elizabeth Weber and Kevin McKelvey. So I love all three
that's
of them.
Cool.
So that'll be fun. And I think that's it. Sarah Layden, new novel.
Mm-hmm.
Trip Through Your Wires, which I just read over the weekend and is absolutely fabulous. So she'll be doing a session on the novel. It's an incredible setup. Did I say Dan Wakefield?
So we got Dan, course. And
Ben Winters. Everybody loves Ben. He's a lot of fun and a terrific teacher. So we always have to give him the big room.
So how does this work? Do people go for the whole day? Do they sort of pick and choose? Tell me about how they register, how much it costs, stuff like that.
You can register online. Like I said, www.indianawriters.org.
Right.
It's $75 for people who are members, and it is $125 for non-members. And if you do the math, you can pretty well figure out that it's worth your while to become a member. It comes out about even. And for students, full-time students with an ID, it's
$25. Oh, that's a
great deal. A great deal, especially for college students in the area who are interested in creative writing. They really will have an opportunity to work with some of Indiana's best writers.
Cool. And then so once you register, the sessions, I imagine, overlap a bit, so you sort of then pick and choose which ones you want to go to.
Yeah, we have three breakout sessions with three sessions per per session.
Sure,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one poetry, one nonfiction, and one fiction. So, you know, we have these little tracks, and the keynote is in the morning, and then for the rest of the day people just kind of go to these various sessions and then talk a lot in between. Lunch is included in the price of the conference, assuming that you let us know probably by the Thursday before. We can't guarantee
so pretty
lunch.
Soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's still a week away. So I'm really excited about it this year. We love having it at Indiana Landmarks. It's such a beautiful setting. Everybody always feels good there. Lots of light coming through the windows and lots of space. So it's good. And Book Mamas will be doing our book table.
Oh, nice.
So
excellent.
You can pick up books by the people
book
who
Mamas,
are
great
teaching and have them signed.
Bookstore from Irvington. From
I
the
love
Irvington
Book Mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's
we do
the
too.
Best.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So about how many people do you expect?
Right around 100.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more this year, I hope. So.
And it's a real mix. I mean, as you said, students, professional writers, hobbyists, people
that's
who are
what I love about
sort of
the
sticking
Center.
Their toes in it the
we
first
really
time.
Get everybody.
Yeah.
You know, people who are rank beginners and people who have lots of experience but still like to take our classes because they're kind of writer intensive and they're very practical. So you can have a lot of writing experience and still get a lot of the classes, but you can still, but you can also be a beginning writer and take the same class and get what you need too. Our teachers are wonderful that way. They really enjoy teaching all those different levels, and they're very good at making people feel both comfortable and challenged.
Now, this may seem a weird question, but will people actually be writing throughout the day? I mean,
yes.
It's not just lectures, right?
It's not lectures. Yeah. It's writing intensive. And our goal is that, you know, we always go for this kind of combination of inspiration, practical stuff, and writing. And so what people like to come away with is some kind of new idea that excites them, some kind of practical knowledge that makes them better able to do what it is that they want to do, and a piece of writing that they can develop. So in a best case scenario, if you went to, you know, all of the three sessions, you'd, you'd come away with three things to work on.
Excellent. Yeah. So definitely bring your laptops or
bring your laptop, bring your notebooks, and prepare to write. And at the end of the day, we'll have a we usually have an open mic, which we're going to have again, but we'll also be celebrating the publication of The Best of Flying Island, which we started an online literary journal about a year ago, and so we've chosen, our editors have chosen the best prose, poetry, and fiction pieces, and so we have some funds to
publish. That's excellent. So you're taking it offline and putting it into an anthology, a book, a published book, and
so we'll have some representatives
releasing it that day.
Yeah,
that's great.
It's exciting. Yeah,
that'll be very fun.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Now, you also have lots of other things, of course, going on at the Writers' Center, ongoing workshops and classes. I know there's a retreat coming up later this spring.
Yes, this is really fun. We had our first retreat. Andy Black, our playwriting guy, and Alicia Rasley decided they thought it would be a cool idea to do it, and so they put it all together. And they had, I think, 11 people. It was during the freezing cold, but we got a full, we filled it, which kind of surprised all of us. I know. And they had it at Oakwood Retreat, which is over near Muncie, and they had a great weekend. So everybody said, let's do it again. So the one that's coming up is May 1st through 3rd.
Okay.
You can find information on our website.
So this is an overnight type of thing?
It's two nights, Friday, Saturday, and it's a mixture of instruction, if you want that, critique, if you want that, and also just writing time. So if you want to just go and spend the whole time writing, you can do that. That's fine. Or else you can participate with the group in the various activities. And there's also an option for a critique, an extra critique for a very reasonable price.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That
it's something new for us.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
A lot of great options. And, of course, then just ongoing classes as well that
people
can find out.
Well, we've got Build Your Author Blog. We've got Flash Fiction coming up this Sunday. Travel Writing, Mindfulness, and the Writing Process, which is a class I think is really cool. We've got a crash course in middle grade fiction with John David Anderson.
Oh, he's delightful.
I love him.
We've had him on Art of the Matter a couple
times. Yeah, he's a great guy.
His book, and Sidekick, is just a really fun read.
I know, they're really fun, aren't they? And he's a really neat guy.
Yeah.
And he's new for us, so I'm excited about that. So if you're interested in writing for children, this is a great class for you to take. We've got a class in voice, jumpstart your novel, create suspense in your stories, the hook that can sell your book, and and some more. So you can find all those classes.
Very cool. Barb, before I let you go, what are you working on these days?
Oh, my gosh. I'm working on a novel that I started in 1998, I'm embarrassed to say.
Well, you finished a few between then and now.
I have finished a few between then, but it's one that has given me a lot of trouble, and I've tried it a lot of different ways, and I think maybe I have it now, or close, anyway.
Good.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Well, looking forward to hearing more about that.
All right.
Okay. Barb Shoup, thank you so much for coming into Are the Matter today.
Thanks for having me.
Travis DiNicola with the Indiana Writers' Center Director Barb Shoup. Their annual gathering of writers will take place on Saturday, March 21st from 9:30 to 5 at the Indiana Landmark Center. That's 9:30 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon, Indiana Landmark Center. More information is available at indianawriters.org. Again, indianawriters.org. Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
You know what's coming up this weekend, later this weekend?
Let's see. Beware the Ides of March.
Indeed.
Oh, that's right.
Indeed. Coming
yes,
up
March
this
15th,
Sunday.
The Ides of March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we have some things you can do for...
A2, Sharon, A2.
We have some things you can do for good luck
mm-hmm.
on that calendar we call...
What do we do? Well, and St. Patrick's Day, of course, is coming up next week
that's
as well.
That's right. And
yes.
The first day of spring soon after that.
Lots of good stuff.
Fabulous.
Yeah, yeah, and I'll just throw this out there for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That yes, of course, there's lots of celebrations, some involving beverages throughout the city. But you know, one of the most fun ones is the Chatterbox annual St. Patty's Day sing along, which takes place late afternoon and early evening at the Chatterbox on St. Patrick's Day, and you can get your Guinness and sing lots of fun songs like "What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor" and whatever else.
When Irish Eyes Are Smiling.
Oh, sure, of course.
And the more
Danny
green
Boy,
beer or Guinness you drink, the better you sound.
Oh, someone sounds better, yes.
Hey, speaking of singing, the Indianapolis Women's Chorus had a concert a couple weeks ago that was canceled due to that big old snowfall that we had. Ironically, the concert is called Dreams for a Better Day, and they're having a better day this Sunday. That's the aforementioned Ides of March at 3 o'clock at UUI, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Indianapolis, which is at 615 West 43rd. Again, Dreams for a Better Day. This coming Sunday at 3, and it's got, you know, there's not a kind of music that you won't hear. So no matter what kind of music you like, you'll hear some pop, some folk, some country, Broadway, choral arrangements inspired by people like Eleanor Roosevelt, Emily Dickinson, and Ralph Waldo Emerson, hence the Dreams for a Better Day. You can get more information at indiechoruses.org, or you can call 317-855-8706, 317-855-8706. And again, the concert's this Sunday at 3 at UUI.
Very good. Well, Paula Katz, who's the interim director for the IMOCA, that's the Indianapolis Museum of Contemporary Art, is already doing some really cool things with the museum. And one of them that I'm curious about is she's having Philip Campbell in conversation with Mark Kiesling. Philip Campbell's the artist whose exhibit, Your Catfish Friends, a very, very intricate, complicated wood carving, which is at IMOCA right now. He's going to be chatting and discussing his exhibit with Mark Kiesling. Mark has been involved with many different art projects over the years, including most recently Da Vinci Pursuit.
Right.
And they're doing this in the morning on Saturday, March 21st at 11 a.m. with coffee and donuts at IMOCA down in Fountain Square. You can get more information on the IMOCA website, but it sounds like a really nice event.
I love that people are starting to stake out morning real estate, like
yeah.
serial cinema and
exactly.
morning conversations with artists. That is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
However, my next event is very much in the evening. It's an evening with Carrie Newcomer this Saturday night. That's March 14th. You probably don't need to be introduced to Carrie Newcomer, but just in case you do, she's a Grammy-winning songwriter, recording artist, performer, and educator with beautiful folk lyrics and tunes. And, you know, if you need to know more, just come out to the concert this Saturday night. It's part of the Indie Folk Series, and you can find out more at indiefolkseries.org, or you can go to brownpapertickets.com and search for Carrie Newcomer.
Very cool. Hey, Diva Fest is coming up at Indie Fringe, Diva Fest 2015.
Don't look at me when you say that.
I didn't watch, Sharon. and lots of great playwrights who were a part of it, women playwrights, and they're kicking it off actually with a high tea event on Sunday, the Ides of March, and where you can meet Bernadette Bartlett, Jeannie Lusk, and Rita Kahn, as well as Jan White. And Jill Dittmeyer from WFYI is going to be hosting
her.
It. Yeah, and there's food from Duo's Kitchen, and it's a fun way to kick off Diva Fest. That's taking place at 1 o'clock on Sunday at the Indie Fringe Theater. You can get more information at indiefringe.org. But then also the whole lineup for Diva Fest includes a lot of great plays starting next weekend, and they'll be going on all weekend long at the Fringe building and even in their new theater as well, which is pretty cool. So looking forward to that. Royal Friends by Rita Kahn is a sort of fictionalized account about Queen Victoria having a very spirited time. Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to checking that out.
I love that. Hey, so I want you just for a moment to picture Barbara Streisand's house.
Okay.
So...
I'm not sure that I've ever seen it, but I've got an image
right,
in my mind.
All right, you have an idea. Under Barbara Streisand's house is a personal, private shopping mall.
What?
What? I know, right? And somebody has to manage this mall, essentially be her glorified personal mm-hmm. shopper and stock all of the stores in this shopping mall. This is the fun and twisty and crazy premise behind buyer and seller.
That sounds like a dream I had once.
I don't think there's a dream ballet in this one-man show, but I have not seen it yet myself. Buyer, B-U-Y-E-R, and seller, C-E-L-L-A-R. Ha ha ha, puns. This show is by Jonathan Tolens, and it's a one-man show with little drama and, as you might imagine, a lot of humor. Scott Greenwell has the part of Barbra Streisand's mall manager in this show on stage at the Phoenix Theater. It's up and running right now. You can find out more at phoenixtheater.org.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, last thing that I've got real quick is just to remind you that the annual Indiana Flower and Patio Show is starting this weekend and goes through next weekend at the State Fairgrounds. What do you got, Sharon?
Come see me at the Indiana Purdue Master Gardener booth. I'm going to be there.
You? Oh, how cool.
I know.
Very
indeed.
Fun.
My last item, since we started with music, I'm going to end with music. Indianapolis Men's Chorus has two concerts coming up on March 20th and March 21st. The theme is Inspired, and you can learn more about that at indiechoruses.org.
Very good. And you can always learn more about local arts events at indiearts.org/guide, the Arts Council of Indianapolis' Indie Arts Guide website, or listen to us next weekend on that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
The 5th Annual Indiana Artisan Marketplace will be at the Expo Hall at the Indiana State Fairgrounds on Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th. Sharon Gamble invited Indiana artisans Eric Freeman in to tell us what we can expect at this indoor celebration of craft and culinary work.
So remind us, Indiana Artisan, the network, has been around for kind of a long time now.
It has, Sharon. This is year 8, I'm proud to say. Started in 2008, and so this is year 8 for us.
And what was the inspiration originally?
Lieutenant Governor Skillman was the original mastermind behind it. Wanted to create an arts as economic development program statewide that didn't need to build factories, or I think smokestacks was the word we were using at the time, but used what she called place-based assets. And basically, it meant kindly to use artists wherever they are in their place and just help them expand their businesses where they are to drive their local economies and, you know, all combined drive the state's economy.
Mm-hmm. And I love that it's visual artists, but also food and beverage artists.
It is. Yeah. We looked at three different states' models. There's lots of different models, but we looked at North Carolina, West Virginia, and Kentucky, and decided at the end of the day it's better to put art and food together. Kentucky has two separate programs, one for art, one for food, that mm-hmm. work really well. But we just wanted, and that's where the word artisan comes from. It's a big tent that you can tuck art and foods under real easily. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what we do, and it has really worked for us because we can leverage art when we need to and then leverage the food when we need to.
And how does someone become affiliated with the Indiana Artisans?
That's a good question. It's an application process. We jury in May and November every year. So a food jury looks at the food applications, and art jury looks at the art applications. And the jury panelists are always different, but they're always folks who know what they're looking at. On the food side, of course, it's chefs and restaurateurs, boutique grocers, dietitians, always somebody from the State Board of Health to look at the labeling. And then on the art side, it's collectors and artists themselves, educators, gallery owners and directors, museum directors, folks who know what they're looking at. Our goal is to identify the highest quality art and food coming from Indiana today. So it's pretty onerous. The application is kind of difficult, to be honest, because the bar is high.
Right.
And we want to see, you know, who really wants to do this. At the end of the day, over the 7 years that we've juried, just a little bit more than 17% of the applicants have had successful applications. So the bar is high, but like I say, the point is to identify and recognize the highest quality work coming from Indiana.
And while the application may be kind of a big deal to put together, it's worth it if you get juried in.
It really is. There's a lot of benefit to it, and there's no cost to it. There's a $25 application fee, but aside from that,
boy, you earn that back in publicity in a heartbeat.
Oh, in minutes, in minutes. We do a lot of events, a lot of media and public relations, all with the purpose to help the artisans expand their businesses through increased sales. That's what we're about.
So where is the ceiling? Where is the threshold? How much do you have to produce to be considered an artisan? And where is the ceiling where you're no longer an artisan, but you're like a mass producer and you're no longer qualified? Or is that even how you think about it?
We do think about it. I mean, that is at least part of what we think about. And every jury panel is different, so that if you were to apply in May and your work did not jury in, you could come back in November and it wouldn't be the same group looking at different eyes.
Sure.
And every jury panel gets to decide, too mass produced, not really, and that happens, but not a lot. Most of the people who apply to Indiana Artisan get it. Have been to our website, kind of see what we're about, see the artisans that are there, and they go, oh, no. We've had some people, a lamp maker comes to mind, who really did mass-produce lamps, and it just, they were beautiful, but it just really wasn't artisanal.
Fit.
And so we do, and on the food side of the house, we talk in terms of small batches. You know, that's a word you see on the Star now all the time, small batch.
Small batch bourbon, small batch maple syrup.
That's exactly it. We've been talking small batch before small batch was cool. And so.
It strikes me, and we will talk about the marketplace, but it strikes me that some of the artisans might not have known one another before they got juried in and maybe have collaborated. Is that something that's happened?
Absolutely. Sharon, I've got a great quick story. We're going to talk about the marketplace. Like you say, 1 year, I think it was maybe the second year of the marketplace, we had a cookie producer from Ferdinand, happens to be a group of nuns, which is kind of a cool story.
Oh, I've had their cookies. Yeah,
they're
fabulous.
Exceptional cookie, yeah. And they've had six different kinds of cookies jury into Indiana Artisans. So they're at the marketplace in their booth selling their six different cookies, one of which is a buttermint cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And, how did a buttermint cookie jury into Indiana Artisan? The nuns actually grow the mint that they use in the buttermint. So, it has a good story. Anyway, they're next to a chocolatier. They get to talk. They hadn't known each other throughout the weekend of the marketplace. The next year, I don't know if you see what's coming, there was a chocolate-covered buttermint cookie.
See what I hope was coming, yeah.
So they talked about, the chocolatier said, have you ever thought about this? And the nuns, of course, hadn't because they don't do chocolate. And
right.
So now they do sell a chocolate-covered buttermint cookie.
I love it.
Great collaboration. And that's just one of lots and lots of stories.
So it's kind of like matchmaking when you assign booths at the marketplace,
right? I don't think we're that way, but maybe it is, yeah.
So this year, I think you mentioned before we turned the microphones on, you have a record number of artisans in the marketplace.
We do, and I don't know why. I wish I did. We do. This will
so
be
you could reproduce
ever.
It, right?
Exactly, so we can be even better next year. This marketplace will have more artisans than we've ever had before, and as you know, we bring art artisans up from the Kentucky Crafted program and food artisans up from Kentucky, which are part of a program called Kentucky Proud. And those numbers have stayed fairly level. What has grown are the number of Indiana artisans participating, and I'm glad to see that.
Mm-hmm. And can you give us some examples? Tempt us.
I can. We've got lots of great stuff, just lots of great stuff. Furniture, Indiana-made wooden furniture has become almost a passion of mine. We make some of the coolest, neatest-looking furniture in the country, and we have 12 furniture makers that are part of Indiana Artisan, and I think six of them will be at the marketplace.
That's a lot.
It is a lot, and of course they need a lot of space to show tables and chairs and a lot of cabinetry, that kind of thing. But the furniture is going to be really neat. I'm eager to see that all put together. Of course, leather bookbinding, leather moccasins. We'll have some neat leather work this year. Shaker chairs are also part of the furnishings. I'm excited about the furniture this year. Candies and chocolates, wines, kind of a neat story. We just juried it, like I say, in November, juried 28 new artisans. 20 of those 28 will be here, one of whom makes a wine truffle, and she uses wine from five wineries that have also juried wine into Indiana Artisan. So
it's wine truffle?
Yeah,
that's
she's in
intriguing.
Bloomington. Yeah. I'm eager for everyone to try it. I've tried it, And it is, or they are exceptional. Like she has five different kinds, five different wines, all from Indiana wineries. So that'll be there. And, of course, all of the foods, and you know this, Sharon, all of the foods and the wines are sampled out during the marketplace. So you can walk down those two food aisles. And I don't know if you get full, but you would certainly enjoy yourself by the time you get to the end with all the samples.
Makes it easier to make a decision later that
this
is something I must take home.
Absolutely.
You know, this is the marketplace is a significant commitment for these folks who are generally working on a not huge scale, and especially if they're coming up from Ferdinand or coming down from South Bend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's why a lot of times people say, well, why don't all of the artisans participate? And because sometimes it is just too big of a commitment. Some of the artisans work in such small batches that it's just not, they couldn't sell enough at the marketplace to make it worth their while. But we are statewide. We are now in 63 counties. So more than two-thirds of Indiana has at least one artisan in the county. The Indiana Artisan views it as a showcase. When people say, what is it? Well, it's a showcase of Indiana's highest quality art and foods. And so the decision for the artisans is, do I want to be part of that showcase? Do I want to associate my individual brand with this high quality statewide brand? And, you know, all of them would answer yes to that. But then at the end of the day, it's, can I afford it? And will I make enough money?
Because they're coming here for a couple of days, maybe 3 days if they're setting
absolutely.
Up on Friday,
that's
right?
Exactly yeah. right. That's exactly right. But I tell you, Sharon, I don't know if I said, this is our fifth anniversary year, and over the first 4 years, the artisans combined have grossed more than $1.6 million at this event, which is not, you know, in the scheme of some events, not huge, but for us, a group that
but
has fewer
than 300. But for small batch producers
absolutely.
Of both art and culinary items, that's significant.
It is significant. It's really significant to them. And then the promotion, you know, to be seen. A lot of people come through the marketplace, and then media types like yourself mm-hmm. Come through, and then follow up later mm-hmm. with them. And you know, little folks, and or not little folks, but people in little burgs, you know, way down along the Ohio River. You know, that's a big deal when Indiana media comes and says, you know, let me write about you, or let me come up on my radio show. So it's not all about the money; it's about exposure too.
Are there categories either in the art side or the food and beverage side that you'd like to have more representation? Are there some artisans out there you're just hoping will apply?
Oh, yeah. I've stopped doing that. Another funny story. I've asked four different, and they've all been on the art side, artists to apply to Indiana Artisan. Mm-hmm. And for the first time this November, one juried in. Everyone else that I've asked to apply has not juried in.
Oh.
And yeah, that's all
dangerous.
So I've stopped saying, you do great work. Please apply. But yeah, and if you said who, I wouldn't be able to.
Well, I wouldn't want you to single anybody out. But I'm just thinking about the broad spectrum where people don't automatically think wine in Indiana in the same breath.
Yeah.
And yet we have 3 dozen wineries, maybe
oh,
more?
Oh, part of Indiana Artisan, yeah, but there's well over 60, maybe even up to 75 now around
right.
the state. Huge wine industry in Indiana
right.
today.
But then, of course, the craft beer scene has
right.
gone crazy.
Even more than the wineries, craft beer has just taken off.
Yeah. Speaking of things crafted with care, I want to mention a couple of other things that are coming up that you have a connection to. A glass festival. The glass festival's coming again.
That's right. It's kind of got a sexy name. It's the Hot Glass Infusion Weekend. And it's actually this weekend. It's
right.
at GRT Glass Design Studio, kind of on the southeast side of town. And it is neat. This will be, I think, the 13th year for that. And it draws glass artists from all over the state and all kinds of glass artists. You know, 10 years ago, I would have thought, well, glass is glass. But it's not. You know, there's blown glass. There's fused glass. There's slump glass. There's torch work, which is glass making on a little torch, kind of what it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the different kinds of glass artists will be there making their work. And you can watch. You can participate. There's activities for children. It's a neat event. The IndianaGlassTrail.com is the website, and there's details there.
And if looking at all that beautiful glass makes you hungry, you can go not just to the Indiana Artisan Marketplace, but there's a maple syrup festival coming up.
The National Maple Syrup Festival, believe it or not, Sharon, is in Indiana. You would think Vermont, but you would think wrong if you thought that. Indiana hosts it. And for the first time this year, it's moved to Brown County, and that's where it'll be forever. And What the folks in Brown County are trying to do is really put the national in National Maple Syrup Festival. And I think over the next two or three years, we will grow that from about 6,000 to 10,000 people. We're using the National Cornbread Festival as the model, and it draws on an average year about 45,000 people.
Oh, that's
and
a lot of
can
cornbread.
Can you believe that for cornbread? And so that's we've got some board members down there. It's in Tennessee, and of course, which is a perfect place for that. And they've been mentoring the board, and I think it'll be the syrup festival will really grow into something neat.
You're making me hungry.
Sorry.
Sharon Gamble with Indiana Artisans Eric Freeman. Learn about and purchase the work of scores of food, beverage, and art craftspeople at the 5th Annual Indiana Artisan Marketplace at the Expo Hall at the Indiana State Fairgrounds on Saturday and Sunday, March 28th and 29th. You can get your tickets at the door. They're $10, with those aged 14 and younger admitted free. The Kentucky Crafted Program will also have its artisans at the event. Learn more at indianaartisan.org. Again, indianaartisan.org. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. I'll chat with Claire Wilcher about her comedy sports across the country road trip.
That sounds like fun. I will find out about some innovative music programs in Indiana schools.
And I'll get a preview of Butler's Arts Fest, which concerns outlaws and outliers this year. And we'll have that arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.